The sermon this morning is entitled, Sighs Too Deep for Words. And this morning, I can say to you, after having finished my sermon this past Friday morning, I woke up Saturday having dreamed about another passage that I'd studied earlier in the week, and I went from the direction of the Matthew reading that's listed in the bulletin to a reading instead this morning of Luke. Now, some of you who know me know how rare it is that I'll change the reading. And this morning, we do not have the Bibles in the pews. We hope to have those returned next week along with the hymn books. But I'll be reading this morning from Luke chapter 18. If you want to write that down, you can read it again later to know that I didn't miss anything. But I'll be reading Luke 18 instead of the Matthew reading, Luke 18 verses 1 to 8. And I'll introduce it when I come to it in just a moment. I'll read the Romans reading first. The Romans reading I find helpful. I find it helpful when I think about my own prayer life over the years, because there have been times in my life, and I'm sure there have been times in yours, when I could not find the words that I needed for prayer, especially when it was a very difficult time, and all I could do was groan or sigh. And I am encouraged by this particular passage about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Romans 8, verses 26 to 27. Listen now as I read from God's Word to us today. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then turning to the gospel lesson in Luke 18, I add this particular reading. The Matthew reading talked really about how not to pray, and the Luke reading is a response by Jesus to the disciples, because the disciples had become troubled and were having difficulty in prayer. And this is what Jesus says to them in this parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, we pray this day that your Holy Spirit will reveal for us the timely truths that are ours from your word from across the centuries. Bring us these truths from across the centuries to the here and now, and unwrap them so that we might shape our lives by them. And as Jesus taught his disciples, and as you teach us today, help us to pray always and to not lose heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the last number of weeks in June and July, I have been going through not only the benefits that we enjoy from this hour of worship, but last week we began talking about some of the things we do every week in worship that also benefit us, that we do continually, and praying is one of those things we do every week. And I would say to you, as I said last week, cultivating a rich devotional and a vital prayer life is critically important as we come out of this pandemic. I reminded those of you who were here last week that my experience with reading the statements of faith from our confirmation class is that several of them had written in their faith statement that over the last couple of years of their confirmation class, because they could not be confirmed last year in person, they had a second year of confirmation. But in the first year, during the pandemic, when they were huddled at home with little to do, several of them mentioned that they lost faith. They stopped reading the Bible, and they stopped worshiping online. And then in the second year of confirmation, when they began to meet again, they said they began to read the Bible daily and pray again, and their faith had become vital to them once more. That was their statement of faith that they shared with our session just a few weeks ago. And cultivating a vital prayer life is important. We need to pray for the church, wherever it is just now. This particular church, Northwood Presbyterian, we are in the middle of not one, not two, but three searches for new staff. You know about the search for the organist. We're delighted to have Cynthia here this morning. She's an excellent pianist, but we're looking for someone to play the organ and perhaps work with our youth in music, as we've done in the past, and also with handbells. And so that's one search that's ongoing. We're also looking for a director of children's ministry. It's a part-time role. Justine Roos had been in this position in the past. And now we're looking, as of this past Monday morning, for a new preschool director, with the preschool starting in just a month. Our preschool director, her mentor, is retiring in St. Petersburg at a Lutheran church that has an elementary school, and she has been asked to become principal in that school. And just in 2 weeks' time, she doubles her pay, and she gets wonderful retirement benefits, and we lose her as a director. We grieve that she is leaving, but we know we had a valuable person. And so we begin now a third search. It has already been posted on a number of websites that preschool directors look for work. And so pray for your church. Pray for me as I try to figure out all of these emails from three different committees. It's an awesome task, and it's an important task. And we believe your prayers are effective. We believe God answers our prayers. And we know God has the person in mind in each position that we need. But if we are honest with ourselves, just like the disciples were that Jesus told this parable to, there are times in which we have problems and we have issues and we have difficulty about our prayer life, about praying. We wonder if our prayers sometimes are heard by God, as so many prayers seem to go, at least some of the time, unanswered. We pray for health, but then there is still that spot on the x-ray that sometimes the doctor is concerned about and sometimes she's not concerned about it. We pray for peace in the world, but battles seem to still rage and getting worse even in parts of the world. We pray for our children, we pray for family, we pray for friends, and yet many of them are often still getting into difficult challenges and getting into trouble. But we pray. And so we have problems with prayer. Problems with prayer at its deepest level. Not so much that prayers go unanswered, but at the deepest level because we lose heart. We lose confidence. We lose hope in our prayers. And in response to even his disciples feeling this way, Jesus told them this parable in Luke chapter 18, that they would always pray and not lose heart. And Jesus told them this parable about the unjust judge. In fact, if you can imagine, this was the worst judge that any community could have. He hated people, he didn't like sitting in court, he didn't believe in God, and he didn't even give, perhaps, to metropolitan ministries. He's the kind of judge we hear about that gives a bad name and mockery to the title, Your Honor. Now, in the parable that I read this morning, the widow comes before this judge, and she's seeking justice. She's coming with her many requests to the judge. Now, this widow, She had no husband, and that would mean perhaps that she had little standing in the community. She had no power, and perhaps she was even poor. In other words, she probably couldn't have gotten justice in a courtroom with a good judge. Now, in the courtroom where she met this awful judge, while it appeared she had nothing, she did have one thing. She had persistence. As a matter of fact, this judge believed she was so persistent she was a pest, and he granted her requests. She shouted out in the courtroom to this judge, "Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice," over and over. And if it had been in our modern day and time, perhaps she had gone to his home and said, "Give me justice," and protested outside. She might even have followed him to his golf club and on one of the holes of the golf course, followed him out on the course and said, "Judge, give me justice." She was a real pest. She was persistent. And the point in the story, this parable, is she finally wore down the old judge. And in this parable, the bad judge finally says to himself, he said, "I don't have respect for anyone, much less this widow, and I don't fear God at all. But this woman is about to drive me crazy, so I'm going to give her what she wants to get her off my back." And that's what he does. That's the story that Jesus tells us so that we and Jesus' disciples might pray always and not lose heart. Now, some say that what Jesus wants us to do is keep our eyes focused on the bad judge. I mean, perhaps the message here this morning in this parable is about prayer is that even when the newspaper reports and the messages we hear on the radio, when they report and tell us of a world filled with corruption and fear, when they tell us of a world filled with the horrors of floods and wildfires out west and unsafe buildings and toxic red tide here, still it's important for us, perhaps we're told in this parable when we pray, to affirm that we also live in this world that has a loving and just God, and that at the end of the day, there will be the renewal of earth and all people. Now, I believe there's truth in that. I believe there is a day of atonement. There is a great day of peace, I believe, that will come rushing in at Christ's return, that last day. But the moral and the story in this parable is not just, however, to focus on the judge, but to remember that Jesus said, right before he told this parable to his disciples, he said, "Pray always and do not lose heart." In Romans 8, St. Paul had an interesting and hopeful thing to say for us about prayer. He wrote, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that the very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." And what that means is, friends, the Holy Spirit prays for us. When we don't have the words, when we come to the end of our rope, the Spirit is there waiting to interpret our hearts to God so that God hears our right prayers. The Scottish Baptist evangelist Oswald Chambers, he once said, "Prayer is the mightiest force in the world." Do you believe that? Do you practice it? As Christians, that is what we are to believe. That's what the woman in this parable believed. It seems she had nothing, but she made her request known with persistence. And perhaps if we focus on her, if we focus this morning on the widow, this poor widow, and not the judge, what we notice is her persistence. Her persistence in her request. "Give me justice, give me justice. Hear me." Her prayers, her requests, they were persistent. And that's because she expected an answer. And so praying then, perhaps, is also our expecting an answer from God, expecting God to act, to even change our attitudes or the attitudes of someone else or a situation in life, expecting that to happen. I believe so often we may just go through the motions of praying, but prayer, remember, is expecting God to change our lives and to change the circumstances. We may never know how, but we believe that God answers all prayers in God's own way and in God's own time. I've always believed that. I heard again the other day the story about Mother Teresa when she went to see Edward Bennett Williams. Now, you may not remember him, but he was a legendary Washington criminal lawyer. He was a powerful and wealthy man. At one point, he owned both the Washington Redskins football team and the Baltimore Orioles baseball team. And he was also the attorney for a number of famous people, Frank Sinatra, Richard Nixon, among others. And the biography about Edward Williams is really a good biography. And it contains the story about the time that Mother Teresa came to see him in his law office. Now, she came to him on this occasion because she was seeking to raise money for an AIDS hospice program. He was over a foundation, and she hoped he would help her cause. But before she arrived to his office, Williams said to his partner, Paul Dietrich, he said to his partner, "You know, Paul, AIDS is not my top priority. I give to a number of important charities and causes. You know about them, but this is not my top pick. And I really don't want to make a contribution to it today, but I've got this Catholic saint coming to see me. What should I do?" And well, they talked to one another, and they both agreed to this. They both agreed that they would hear her out fully, and then once she finished, they would say politely to her, "No." Well, Mother Teresa finally arrived to William's office, and she sat like a little sparrow. She was a small woman, and she sat in that chair with her feet off the floor because she couldn't reach the floor in that chair, and she sat across the big lawyer's mahogany desk, and she made her case for the hospice program. And then Williams looked at Paul Dietrich and looked at her, and he said, "Thank you. We are deeply touched by your appeal, but we're not giving to it just now." The answer is no. And Mother Teresa smiled at him, and she simply said, "Let us pray." They looked at each other, they bowed their heads, and they listened to her pray. And then as soon as the prayer was over, Mother Teresa made the same pitch for the AIDS hospice program, word by word, at great length. And again, William said politely, "We've heard you. The answer is no." And then Mother Teresa said it again, "Let us pray." And William's exasperated. He looked up at the ceiling and he said, "All right, get my checkbook. I'll make a gift to your hospice program." Well, maybe that's what Jesus wants here, for us to pray like that, to pray like this saint, Mother Teresa, or to pray and cry out like this widow in this parable, "Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice." Now be careful here in your understanding about prayer at this point, because prayer is not expecting everything we pray for will happen exactly as we pray it will happen. But it is living with the expectation that God will act in some way and that something good will come from our prayers. God answers prayers in God's own way and in God's own time. And that may be part of the answer for us about how to pray, to be constant, to be even feisty in our prayers. But what Jesus says to us here is not just to act like the widow, but he says to us quite directly, pray always and do not lose hope. So as one commentary put it that I read this week, this story is not about the bad judge. It's not about the poor widow. It's a story about who God is and you and me. Maybe more to the point, and I close with this story. There is a famous story that I reheard this week about a boy named Frank who was walking along the Mississippi riverbank. And he was playing, he was throwing sticks and rocks in the water and having a grand old time. And finally he happened upon another boy who was on the riverbank making, "What are you doing?" And the boy said, "I'm going to take the raft and see that island out there in the middle of the Grand River. I'm going to paddle out to it by hand and look for arrowheads on that island. I dare you to come with me." Well, Frank couldn't resist it. And so he got on the raft, and he and the boy took off, and they were paddling with their hands out to this island. They made a good effort to it, but it was a long way to the island. It was a grand, wide river, perhaps one of its widest points, and the current was very, very strong. And just as they were getting to the island, about 50 yards away, the current broke up the raft, and they had to swim for their life to make it to the island. And when they got there, they were exhausted. There they were in the middle of that grand river. They were exhausted. It was late in the day. Nobody knew where they were. What would they do? And about that time, one of those paddle wheel steamboats, you know what they look like, it started coming down the river. They could see it coming. And Frank ran to the edge of the island, and he began to yell, "Help, help, we're marooned on the island, come save us." And the other boy said to him, "Don't waste your time, don't waste your breath, they can't hear you, and even if they could hear you, they won't come and help us. I mean, look at us, we're covered with mud, we're just two boys on an island." But just at that moment, that paddle wheel steamer began to turn toward the island. And the boy turned to Frank and he said, "How did you do that?" And the boy said, "Well, there's something you don't know that I didn't tell you. The captain of that boat is my father." I hope you get the message of this parable, because it tells us that the captain of the universe is our Father. And how much more to one who has formed us in the womb and who will respond to our every cry and even our anguished sighs, how much more will He give us if we pray always and do not lose hope?